Let's clap for the Lord.
You know, yesterday I came to practice with the choir. And as a minister, it was just a message preached. And I was really thrilled. I was beside myself. And I hope you're feeling the same way, because the topic is love one another. And if you really followed the wordings of the songs, you will see the message itself alive to you. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time. Now let's imagine there is a way to measure the love quotient, the love quantity in NIBC. Obviously, I don't know, but God knows. And I'm sure God has a measure for that. And I see the Lord telling me this morning that there is a good and bad news for us. So what should I say first? The good news? The good news? Let's start from the good news. The good news is that God has enough love in all of us gathered here that if we activate that love, nobody here will be in it. Nobody here will be uncared for. That's the good news. Now, what's the bad news? The bad news, of course, is that that love is locked in your heart and we are not releasing them to be a blessing unto the people. The question is, are you willing to be used of God for the blessings he has in store for his people that are deposited in you? Let us pray. God is love. Can you ask God to reveal himself to you, especially today? Because even in Sunday school, we know that you cannot love others unless you love God. It is the love of God that you are reflecting to others. So the way you love others is a reflection of your love for God. Can you pray that the love will reveal himself specially to you? God is love, and we are called by his name. We're expected to reflect that character of God to others. Can you pray that you will reflect that character of God? That every hindrance, every impediment, every limitation, every issue of your life that is making this love not radiate in your life, that today God will deal with them in your life. The man who led the prayer dwell at length on that same topic. Unless you and I know God, unless we love him, we can't love others. Brethren, ask for the love of God to manifest, especially in your life this morning. And let's begin to thank God, saying it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. For those who are Africans, it's a tradition that when somebody is old and fulfilled, on his deathbed, he will call his children together and he will tell them stories. He will give them instructions. He will reveal some secrets unto them. Eventually, he will bless them. And after that, he will die. Such discussions are normally taken very seriously because the man has kept it in his heart for that occasion. If you reflect on Genesis 48, from verse 21 to 49:1-2, we saw Israel or Jacob doing the same thing. Then Israel said to Jacob, "I'm about to die." Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around me so I can tell what will become of you." And he told each one of them exactly what their life will be like. And if you study the Bible very critically, you will see that that reflected on each one of them, but for the mercy of God. What's the relevance of that to loving one another? The relevance is that Jesus did the same thing exactly. The last night, he washed his disciples' feet. He had communion with them. And he reclined his seat. And he was giving them a command, saying, love one another. Because Jesus said it shortly before he died, that for you and me, that is a very serious issue that we cannot toy with. It's not a suggestion. Therefore, you and I need to pay attention to that subject of love and make amends where it is required in our lives. So, what kind of love is this, brethren? What kind of love? You know, love can be confusing these days because they use love to describe many relationships. And I'll give you examples. They love their cars. I love my car. What kind of car do you drive, Sister Olaya? What kind of car do you drive? Avensis 2004 model. I like the car. Blue in color. That car moves fast when I drive it. I love this brand of food that I eat, like ofada rice. It's also love, right? People even love their sexually intimate partner. And in another breath, they also love their favorite club, Man U. Is it Chelsea?
Man U.
Eh? It's Man U. All right, me, I love ICC Shooting Stars. Now, what love can possibly mean if it applies to dog, applies to machines, applies to food, as well as sexual or close companions? What kind of love is that? That's confusing. We'll have good news. The Bible is not confused at all about what it's talking about in love. It's not vague. It's very, very clear. In the Bible, in the New Testament, Greek was a language spoken. And the New Testament was actually written in Greek. Love is described in four ways. Eros, Stegos, Philos, and Agape. And I'm not trying to do a teaching on those four. But Eros is a relationship between male and female, including physical desire, thirst, and yearning. That word is not used in the New Testament, that translation. Stegos, however, refers to a mutual love between family members. And that's also not used in New Testament. Philos, on the other hand, talks about cares and concern that friends have for each other, or brotherly love. We saw that in exchange in John 21, 15, 17, between the exchange between Jesus and Simon Peter. Jesus took him from ordinary love into the agape love that he was talking about. And of course, what's the agape love, which is the one that God was talking about? Agape love is a unique, supreme love involving conscious and deliberate choice to do good to one another. A commitment based on willful choice of the lover, not the qualities of the person receiving the love. So I'm loving not because you are handsome, pretty, rich, you have greeted me, you have not greeted me, I like your face, I don't like your face, you are from my tribe, you are not my tribe. I just like it because I want to love you. And that's what we found in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the example that Jesus demonstrated to us through his life. Jesus giving his life to us is demonstrating to us that this is possible. It's not impossible. And we know that in scriptures, with God, all things are possible. What Jesus was trying to teach us is that he wants us to deliver this kind of love to our families, to our workplaces, to our communities, and to his people, so that people can see us and say that indeed these are different people. They don't behave like the rest of the folks. And I'd like to just make something clear, and I'm asking you, I'm asking me, is this kind of love among us? Is it in practice? Is it evident? Are we practicing it? Is it in you? Do you demonstrate that love as new Inside Baptist Church members to one another? If you are to be sincere and if you want to be honest to God, you will not be answering yes, yes, yes to that question. You will not be, if you are to be sincere. From that 1 Corinthians 13, we can see that love is a relationship between persons based on act of self-sacrifice. Such love is willed, is deliberate, even extends to the enemies and for those we have no personal affection. So therefore, when the Bible talks about love, it's not like talking about love for Man U or Chelsea. You know, through technology, they try to confuse us to use many things together so that we can be confused. That's when you will see boys, young ones, saying, ah, that thing is awesome, Abasi. Ah, what can be awesome? Who is awesome? Only God. Ah, that your shirt is awesome, Kai. I'd like to share two facts of love. The first fact is that love is a choice. You need to determine to love. You have to agree that you want to do it. And you can only agree if you understand who you are and what you are expected to be. Not only people love because of what they are going to gain, and once what they are going to gain is not there, they quickly withdraw that love. But that's not what God is talking about in contrast. When we look at Hosea 3:1-3, God told the prophet to go and marry who? A prostitute. For the benefit of who? Of the prostitute. Because when a prostitute who is like a rag marries a man of God, her life is transformed immediately. So it's a choice. So that was how God was committed to Israel. Israel now meaning NIBC in the story of Hosea. Hosea's marriage was an illustration of God's marriage to the spiritually adulterous nation of Israel. Change it to NIBC. And this needs to be replicated between us. God led the man who, our brother who prayed, to ask us to even pray for small gods that we have in our lives. That's adultery. So the first fact of love is that love is a choice. Second fact is that love is tough work. It's easy to read First Corinthians 13, 4 to 8a. It's easy. You can read it. You can mouth it. But it is not impossible. And that is why God's help is key. And how is it possible for us to do it? John wrote, "We love because He first loved us." We received that magnificent kind of love from Christ Himself. If you want to love according to 1 Corinthians 13, you need to ask God to reveal Himself more to you. Because that's the only way you can do it. Our time is far gone, but I just like to share 4 facts from the life of Jesus to show exactly how He demonstrated that love that you and I need to emulate. You see, I can love anybody in the abstract. Oh, I love that my brother. Oh, yeah, I love Sister X. Sister X now says, "I need help for somebody to help me come and clean my room." Sister X is 78 years old. She needs help. And now say, "Oh, I need to do this own work that they've given me." Oh, that place, there's traffic on the way. How will I get there now? Oh, actually, APC is doing rally on the road, so there'll be traffic. I can't even go. But I've said I love her anyway. Then we can also love in abstract, but when they tell somebody, "Bring money," say, this 20 naira, I need 10 naira for transport. God bless you, brother. It's easy to love in the abstract. But Brother Paul in 2 Corinthians 8, 8 to 9 said, "I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich." So how did Jesus came to make us rich? One, Jesus left His Father, whose company He would not enjoy for over 30 years. And I'm asking, brethren, how long can you stay away from your parents or your family to go and help someone who may eventually reject you? You know the guy will reject you. Because Jesus is all-knowing. He knew the end. He knew that He will come and sacrifice His life, yet they will mob Him. Yet Jesus came, left His Father, left the company to come for you. One example. Second example, Jesus left a joyful crowd that included Isaac, angelic hosts, and redeemed saints who were worshiping Him and glorifying Him. He was the object of worship in heaven. Yet He left that to come to you and me, to be misunderstood, to be rejected, to be scorned, to be hated, to be scorched by the same people He came to help. Brethren, will you leave your position of honor and adoration to go and help someone who will ultimately malign you? That is the love the Bible is talking about. Number three, Jesus left a heavenly home that exceeded any splendor, any majesty, any comfort we can describe on earth. Will you leave your mansion with your AC and inverter and solar power and generator to go to a place mosquito infested to go and preach the gospel, taking only fancy that with you? Fourth thing Jesus did, He left pre-incarnate existence in His form of God without limitations to take a physical body that is subject to fatigue, pain, aches? Will you and me accept hunger, thirst, fatigue, pain, and physical abilities to help those who didn't care whether you came or not? Jesus, with those four examples, demonstrated when he says love, what he wants you and me to do. And I'm asking us, NIBC members, is that the kind of love we practice among us? When Jesus was speaking throughout the Bible, he was speaking from the knowledge of fact of what he has done, of example he has given. And he put that in perspective when he was talking to the rich ruler. He told the rich ruler, Mark 10:21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And the man's heart fell. Jesus, talking to disciples also in Luke 12:33, said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. The truth is, what Jesus was telling them to do, he's done it already. He's left everything to come and deliver these same people. He was asking them, can you see what I've done? Can you emulate me? I did this for you. Do it for others. Like Jesus' example, our love for each other must be unconditional, must be unreserved, must be unbought, must be unsought, and must be sacrificial. The only way to know that you love is actually when you love others. And that was the message that Jesus was giving on that last night, saying, love one another, a new commandment I gave unto you. Can I say something that we just haven't thought about it? That the first century Christians, they evangelized the then known world. Mark that word, the then known world. But understand that there were no internet, there were no advertisements, there were no smartphones, there were no TVs. You can't even text. Yet, they evangelized the then known world. Now, it will be about 7 billion people. Were we to evangelize the world, 7 billion people with internet, Facebook, Instagram, Victorgram, and many more. How were they able to do it? They simply loved each other truly. Truly loving one another. And that genuine love attracted others like this. So if we as NIBC can truly love each other, you'll be surprised. You don't need to print tracts. People will come to say, where do you worship? And that's where God wants us to be. And we'll get there in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, brethren in NIBC, this is what Jesus is calling for among us. Just as I love you, that you, NIBC, love one another. Let us go low in foot washing service. Jesus did it to one another. Literally, let us lay down our lives, our privileges for one another. We should love our brothers and sisters across ethnic and boundary lines.
We must love the weakest. We must love the oldest. We must love the youngest. Even the disabled. Particularly that lonely troublemaker. We must love him. How blessed are we going to be as a church when we do this? Romans 12, 9 to 21 in the Message translation, in closing. Romans 12, 9 to 21 Message, in closing. I'd like us to read this slowly by ourselves. Love from the center of you, of who you are. Don't fake it. Next. Now, inventive is original, creative, and resourceful. Next. 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 Can we be upstanding? We've had a message, we've had the choir sing, we've also read the scriptures. Where do you know you need help? Where do you know you are failing? Where do you know you haven't been doing right? Can you begin to ask God to right the wrong in your lives? March 2015 is our month of advancement in love, and God is asking us to love one another. Which area have you seen you need to love brothers and sisters more than you have been doing before? Can you ask God to help you? Those areas you have determined, ask for help. Ultimately, we want to be examples of Christ-like loving. That's what we want to be. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you.